Union commandos have tightened the noose around both hotels, and they have claimed to release a few hostages out of the Taj. But there remains a state of siege in both those places. There was a brief flurry earlier in the day when Indian National Security Commandos, who are otherwise known as Black Cat Commandos, appear to be making a move to rescue the five Jewish families that are in the ultra-Orthodox Jewish center just south of the Taj Mahal Hotel. But they appear to have backed off. And we don't know if that's because the militants had thrown a hand grenade or not, but certainly the eyewitness accounts appear to be that they're pulling back slightly and setting up large lighting rigs. So we presume they're going to wait for the night to arrive.
Where are the points of confrontation at the moment?
There are three at the moment, at least the ones that have been reported. That's in the Taj Mahal Hotel, which is a big old Gothic structure that overlooks the Arabian Sea. There's on Marine Drive, the Trident Hotel, which is another very large five-star hotel. And there is a Jewish center where five Jewish families are being held by three or four snipers. That's really another very key point of tension.
So what can we now say about the number of dead? Is there an up-to-date figure?
The latest figure that we have is 101 dead. Now, the interesting thing with those dead is none of them have been named as officially as far as we can see. We were expecting it at 4:30 this afternoon Indian time, but nothing has been given out. We know that there's been a British person injured. We know a Japanese person has died, but it's very bitty. It's very unlike other bombings that have been in India when we have been able to go into hospitals and talk to the injured. This has not been the case this time around. That may have something to do with the fact that the militants attacked a hospital yesterday.
And what do we know now about the militants themselves?
Well, actually, they've been on the telephone to a local Hindi news station and made clear their demands, which is the release of all Mujahideen in India before they release their hostages. One of the points that could be made about the language that we're using is that they're definitely North Indian or Pakistani Punjabi. It's a very distinctive way of talking, and most people listening to it would have instantly had their ears prick up, because it wasn't a South Indian way of talking, which is who the original group, the Deccan Mujahideen, as they call themselves, who claimed responsibility, would have expected a different twang in the way they spoke. Now, India traditionally raises the finger of blame at Pakistan and in most of these incidents, often without much evidence.
But have the people who are holding the hostages actually said clearly who they are representing?
No, they have not. They've only asked for the release of all Mujahideen. They're quite clearly Islamic in their orientation. Now, the Prime Minister of India has been on television and said that there may be external links, which, again, you know, we are in a very delicate series of peace negotiations, have been. It's a highly choreographed dance. They don't need this sort of unsettling news between these two nations. The Pakistani Foreign Minister is in New Delhi at the moment, so the last thing in the world he would want to happen is to be accused of having blood on his hands.
Finally, what about the way in which they managed to get through into the city? That's given us more information, hasn't it?
Well, the Chief Minister of Maharashtra said that the militants arrived on boats. Now, India has a very long shoreline. It's not particularly well patrolled. And actually, in 1993, which produced the largest terrorist bombing then seen in the world, where 270 people died, the RDX, the explosive, came in on boats. But more strikingly was the ability of these people to walk around with AK-47s and simply shoot people on sight in India's most cosmopolitan city.